Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Rise and shine. It's 7 a.m. on Saturday.
Hello, Jean. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Okay, I'm one of those women that uses tons of hairspray, and I have damaged our laminate door in the bathroom.
But how does your hair look?
And you've got the one and only Mr. Fix-It tuned into your radio.
Give me some driftwood and I'll whittle you a window.
That's right, Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
It's not the tool, it's the man behind it.
Right here on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGS.
Good morning, everybody. 7:13 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by the Lindemann Chimney Company. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line this morning. Good morning to Veronica Carter. How are you?
Good morning. Fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in Davenport. Have you ever been to Davenport?
I have not.
It's lovely.
I have been through once, and that was just because I was driving across the country. And it was one of those, you know, okay, I see corn.
Yeah. Yes, this is Davenport, of course, being one of the Quad Cities, birthplace of Spike Odell's radio career. I believe he was Spike at the mic when he was here in Davenport. It's really a lovely set of towns right along the river and bridges everywhere, really nice people. I'm here because I'm speaking at an event later this morning at a local lumber yard on behalf of Marvin Windows and Doors. So I couldn't get out here quick enough from Chicago, this morning after the show. So I said, well, I'll come in tonight, or last night, and get set up. So I have my little mobile studio in my hotel room, and it's like, oh, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to, you know, get ready. And there must be some sporting event because there's a bunch of little girls running around the hotel. You know, I don't know if they're volleyball players or soccer players or something. And they were all giggling and running around the hotel at 1:30 in the morning.
I was going to say, I think there's always a sporting event happening.
Right, right. And I'm like, well, I used to be there. I know what it is. So I took the pillow and, you know, mashed my ears under it to try and get some sleep. So that's pretty funny. Well, and you're doing well?
Yes. I did go ahead and start putting some plants in the ground, though.
I know. I did, too. I did my flower boxes. And I said, I'm just not going to wait anymore.
Yeah, but then we've got that frost thing possible tonight.
Right, right. You know, as long as the frost thing is, as long as they're not teeny, you know where frost really bothers plants is if you planted your garden from seeds or something like that, and you just have the little bitty sprouts. But if you went to the nursery and bought plants that, you know, are established, they'll be fine.
I always do a combination because I like all the vegetables to come in stages. Because who really needs 10 million green beans at the same time?
Right, right. You're like, green beans again?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's me with asparagus right now. I love asparagus, but by the end of this month, I'll be going, okay, I'm going to take a break for a while.
I love asparagus.
I grow it, and it's, you know, the longer you grow it, the more and the bigger the stalks are, too, the more that comes up. So,
right.
Ooh, I planted a lot.
For Mother's Day, I made a little brunch for all the mothers, and I made a bunch of vegetable frittatas, which were really good. And one of them was asparagus, zucchini, and spinach.
Ooh, that
was so good!
Really?
Oh
good.
My gosh, it was so good. Now I'm hungry.
Popeye's on line five for you now. You got him going. It's too early for Popeye to get excited.
That's right. He's excited. Nothing better than spinach, boy. I tell you, I love it.
I want to give you the world's most fattening, probably, asparagus recipe, but it's super easy.
Right.
So steam it slightly.
Right.
Coat it in ranch dressing and cracked pepper. A lot of cracked pepper. Then you throw it in a casserole pan, crush up some Cheez-Its, sprinkle over it, and a little bit of cheese, and then bake it for like 10 minutes. Oh my gosh.
That sounds amazing.
Wait a minute. crush up some Cheez-Its?
Cheez-Its.
We do that on our broccoli casserole at Thanksgiving with the Cheez-Its.
My God.
It's really good because they're very sharp tasting. So, oh my gosh, it's good.
Where is can you guys remind me at the station? Where do we keep the defibrillator hanging on the wall? Is that where is that? Just so I know where that's at, because after I get done eating that, I'm gonna have to clear. Sam, I'm clear. And he's going to have to hit me with it.
As if the ranch dressing weren't bad enough for you. Then you've got the cheeses. Right. Then you've got regular cheese, too.
Although you can use the low-fat ranch dressing to make you feel.
I use the reduced-fat Cheez-Its. And
yeah, I always get the kick out of the people that I will see. I'm not a huge fast food eater, but I will see the giant bag of, you know, the whatever the cheeseburger or the quarter pounder or the Whopper and the fries, whatever, and I'll take a Diet Coke.
Exactly.
And at that point, just to go with the sugar.
Yeah, if you're going to blow it this much, you might as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're not saving anything. All right. Well, we're here in Davenport all the way till 10 o'clock, but that really makes no difference for you, the listening audience, because we're going to take your calls all day long. We have some interesting things to talk about. In particular, at 8:30, I'm very excited to talk to a company that has been harvesting and manufacturing cork products for a very long time. And I think you're going to find it very interesting to know the beauty and the history of where cork comes from and how it really is a flooring option that you should consider, because I just think it's great. And then for you pool owners, in particular you in-ground pool owners, you want to stick around for our Noodaloo 2, because it is going – this Noodaloo 2 is a very specific item. It has a very limited audience. But if you are this audience with anyone with an in-ground pool, it's something you're definitely going to want to listen for. So that's coming up around 7:50 this morning. Right now, let's get the phone lines. On the phone from Burbank is Lorraine. Lorraine, you're on WGN. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
So am I. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question. I have a terrible sewer odor coming into my house. We think it's from under the bathroom sink. And we have had this friend that he's like a handyman, and he says, well, it's probably in your pipes going out. And he replaced that neck thing under there and all the way out. He opened the wall, and we still have it. And I have to have this cleared up. It's horrible. Who should I call? Okay. Who should I get to do it, or what do you think is wrong?
Okay, hold on a second. So the smell that you have is when you, it's a vanity and you open up the cabinet below?
Yes.
Do you smell it when, if you don't put your nose by the cabinet?
Yes, and it's in the whole, it goes into the rest of the house too, the smell. That's how strong it is.
Okay, and this friend you said replaced what pipe? The one that comes down from the sink or the trap?
The one that comes down and then that gooseneck thing and then out into the wall.
He replaced all of that?
Yes.
And you're still getting an odor.
Yes, it's bad. And we've had, well, I'm ashamed to say this, but we've been putting up with this for 6 months or more. And it's just getting worse. So
Lorraine, you don't have to be ashamed.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And every time my daughter comes, she says, oh, Ma, it stinks so much in here. And I said, oh, my God. So we got to do something about it. And let me tell you, it's an older house.
Yeah. So it's here's my guess. My guess is there's some kind of crack in the pipe in the wall, and that's what's permeating into the house. Because if he replaced all those pipes below the sink, as you mentioned, there shouldn't be any odor coming from there that's like a strong sewer smell. So the people to call that offer full-service plumbing and can really determine this is PermaSeal,
okay.
You know, the basement people. They have full-time licensed plumbers on staff. And they can come out, and the big thing with them is they're not just going to start busting open things. They have a camera they can use. They have a lot of different ways to diagnose this problem.
Okay.
And I know a certain producer who works for me on Saturday mornings, and she has had them out to their home a couple times.
Okay.
And the review that she has given them, Lindsay, is?
They've been wonderful, Lorraine.
Mm.
Truly.
So she bought an older house with her husband, and they've had a couple of issues, and they've been great.
Oh,
so
okay.
You have a pencil or a pen?
Yes, I do. I got the PermaSeal. Now give me the phone number.
800-421-SEAL.
S-E-A-L. Okay. Okay. I'm so thankful. I didn't know who to call. Then this guy, he also said maybe there's something stuck in your, you know, the pipe coming up on the roof.
The vent.
But we got a cover on that.
Right. Well, it could be something there too.
Okay.
And so just have them call them 800-421-SEAL, and then they will they'll come out and they'll figure it out for you. Lorraine, thanks so much for the phone call. 7:22 in the morning, you're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show live from Davenport, Iowa, the Quad Cities. Maybe I'll run into Spike. Oh, no, he lives in Tennessee now. We'll be back right after these.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Come on, wake up. The weekend is here. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGS.
But I feel better when I'm dancing. Yeah, yeah.
Dancing. I like that. 7:26 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Thanks so much for listening. Let's talk to Edward, who is at Midway. Are you at the airport, Edward?
No, I'm in the neighborhood, Midway Airport. Yeah.
Oh, all right. You're not in a security line, like outside? That's why you said you're at
Midway? No, but I was a couple weeks ago going to San Francisco, and I managed to get by pretty quickly because I caught a flight very early, like 6 a.m.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, those guys, those poor guys, I travel all the time, and those TSA folks, they're just doing their jobs. They're not in charge of how many the people assign there, so be nice to those people because, you know, all of a sudden they're going to say, all right, time for a strip search, Edward.
Yeah, I'm in customer service myself. I mean, I know how it is.
Yeah. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, Lou, this is more for my mother. She doesn't speak English that well, but I'm doing this for her. She complains about dust in her house. And we did a couple of things. She's got a couple of purifiers she got from Menards. We even had a guy come out to her house and clean the vents. And Sears came out the other day and put something called the speed lamp. So I have a guy.
Like an air purifier?
Right. And she's even had somebody like today kind of check the chimney, but she told me to give you a call and see what suggestions you might have. Something.
Tell me what does she live in the Midway area?
She does, yes.
Okay, and is this dust problem new or has it been going on for a long time?
Well, it's been going on party for a year. Okay. One thing came up to me is that she used to be a pillow packer, and that might have been a problem with her all over the years working in that factory. I don't know if she has something internal.
But when you go to the house, do you see the dust? Like, does she say, Edward, look at all this dust. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Or
and
is it?
It is.
You see it. Okay.
I was even cleaning down the basement, like underneath the stairs by the paneling. And I, after cleaning it, just as I was finishing, I was starting to sneeze. But.
Wow. Okay. Now, nothing has changed in the neighborhood. Like, is there a bunch of construction going on? Aren't they doing a bunch of road construction down there? No?
Well,
nothing around her?
Yeah. I mean, Archer Avenue is a couple blocks away from the house, but I really can say no, nothing near the house like that, yeah.
All right, so you've gotten the ducts clean. She's using an air purifier. You got something, some kind of air filter in there, but it's still a problem. So this is what I'm thinking. If it's an older home, part of the problem could be that her ductwork itself needs to be sealed. Okay, so in older homes, what can happen is the connections in between the joints where the ductwork was put in, if you've already had the ducts and everything cleaned, they can, when the forced air is running, can pick up dust as they go, like a vacuum, okay?
Okay.
There is a process, there is a service called AeroSeal, okay?
AeroSeal.
And you can call, you know, Google them, and you'll find the guys that do it. And they can come out and give your mother an estimate to seal the ducts. So essentially, they go through with this polymer, and they seal any of the holes. And then when the furnace is running, it won't pull any dust and go. It really is effective. I had it done to our house about 15 years ago, and it really made a difference. The other thing is, upgrade your mom's furnace filters to pleated filters to catch more of the airborne dust, and that should help as well. But you got to change those filters on a regular basis, and hopefully things improve for her down the line. Thanks so much for the phone call. Veronica, we need to take a quick break, and we'll get to your news in just a minute or so.
This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she loves me.
Oh, that cracks me up. 7:38 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show with me, Lou Manfredini. Are you listening to what you're saying?
Ellie. I think she's the same.
Funny.
Is she the same lady that did
the Kibitzer.
The Kibitzer, right?
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Close, you got it. That's right. Oh. Hey, Veronica.
Uh-huh.
Can you bring up at the next news meeting that you never get invited to? I really miss the water temperature.
Okay, I will tell him. I think it's coming back.
Listen, okay, if I need to, I will go get a probe, stick it in the water, and run a wire all the way to the studio so that you can look at it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, we have this massive lake that we live next to. And I think it's always interesting for people to say, wow, the lake temperature, it's 46 degrees. I wonder what it is.
It we seems like it always disappeared in the winter, but it seems like at this time of the year, it should be back because people are starting to think about
the water. Who do I have to talk to over there? Who do I have to talk to? Who's in charge?
Careful. Be careful.
I was going to say, let me get her name.
Yeah. Judy. Judy. You know, if she would stop going to Goodwill so much and, like, pay attention to getting us the damn water temperature, you know, I don't know. What else I have to do to make this radio station successful, for crying out loud? Would a little water temperature be so hard?
Especially when we've been doing it all these years. You know, we could call a meteorologist and just have them part of the show, and their whole job would be just, you know, 10 seconds every Saturday morning.
Right. We need another excuse for people not to listen to the radio. That's the thing. We want to be everything to them. We got Sam doing the sports now on Saturdays, which I think is awesome. We got you doing a terrific job on the news. Just we're missing that one little piece. What's the water temperature?
That's we can take bets, you know, and the people whoever comes close enough.
I would happily take bets.
They could get Ace Hardware
bumper
sticker.
Think of the promotions we could do. Exactly. I guess the right water temperature on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Hee-haw on the bumper. All right. Next week. Can we make that happen?
I'll see what I can do.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bill is on the line in Deer Park. Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning, sir. Hello, Bill. All right, we're going to put Bill on hold. Hello, Bill. Well, how about Irene in Plainfield? Irene, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Terrific. How can I help you?
Good. You know, I have can lights in my kitchen, but all around the can lights, it's like brown. The ceiling has turned like brown. What can I do to prevent that?
It's in your kitchen.
Yes.
And do you, let me ask you this. Do you burn a lot of candles, Irene?
Yes, I do.
All right. So that is candle sooting.
Around just the lights and there's nowhere else in the ceiling.
Right. But you know why? Because there's a draft up there. There's a draft because they're not sealed. And so it pulls the soot and then it grabs onto it and it makes that dirty. Now, is the sooting on the ceiling or on the ring of the can light?
No, on the ceiling itself.
Okay, so you can clean that, okay? So if you get up on a ladder and you took even some Fantastic or some 409, you pull the trim down, spray it, which is also going to spray in your face, so be careful.
Good, and I can clean my face.
It's a new look at all the money that you ladies spend on your, you know, the right kind of soap wash for your face and stuff. This is a new thing. Oh my gosh, Irene, your skin looks so fantastic. What do you use? I go 409.
I just gleam.
You just gleam. And you'll be antibacterial. Spray that up there. Spray that up there and clean it. Now the thing with this is the sooting comes from more so with cheaper candles. So if you buy more expensive candles that have more paraffin in them, the sooting is less. But if you burn a lot of candles, people that burn a lot of candles, you'll see this. You may look, now that I tell you this and you look around your house, you may see sometimes on white walls little black lines, vertical black lines, because a wall is not completely flat, and so where the where the studs are under the wall, sometimes you'll see it there. Or if you have carpeting in your home and you keep a doorway closed, like to a bedroom, you'll see a black line in the carpeting right there because the soot will go right on that line as well.
Oh, that's too bad. I love candles. I'm not going to use them again.
Well, you can no. You can keep doing it. You just got to get up there and clean it. I mean, it'll take a while. This took a while to happen. So, I mean, if you just put this on your spring cleaning list, you know, if you, you may have to do it depending on how much you burn. You know, it might be twice a year that you have to do that, but it's fine.
Okay.
Use candles with wax that emit less soot, too.
Correct. Oh, they have those kinds? Right. How will I know that?
Oh, yeah.
It says on a jar?
Soy candles don't emit as much as paraffin.
Okay. Correct. Because I light like 3 candles a day, and I let them burn all day.
Right.
You know.
Now, do you like the candles for the scent or the look?
Oh, the scent.
Okay. Because
I know I can probably get Freshwave. You know.
Well, those are terrific candles, and the Freshwave candle is actually the best way to deliver the odor neutralizing characteristics of the product into the air because it burns it off. But my point is this: we have gone at our house with these Luminary LED candles, and they are this candle technology was invented by Disney for the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. These candles that take like AA batteries or some take D batteries.
Right.
If I put them in front of you in broad daylight, you would swear that they're real candles. And they have a timer. They have a timer that once you set it, they turn on, they turn off. Mm-hmm. And they're beautiful. They don't give off any scent, but the beauty of them, we have them all over our house. They're beautiful.
Yeah. I do have, I keep it as a nightlight in my bathroom. I do have one of those, but there is no scent. You know, and that's what I burn it for.
You know, if you burn like if you burn 3 a day, I could teach you how to make candles.
How to what?
Make candles. I make candles.
Oh my gosh. It would be so involving.
You know, I've cut it down to a science. But
it's like therapy, right?
It is. It's therapy. Yeah.
Right. Veronica, it's therapy, My wife's sister was a candle maker. She used to make candles at the Bristol's Renaissance Fair when she was in high school. She would go up, and now she's a doctor. Now she's a surgeon, and she used to make candles. And
well, maybe I can start making candles and be a doctor.
You could make candles. You could go up to Bristol's Renaissance Fair, and you could say to people, "Would ye like a turkey leg?" And you could say that.
Right. Oh God!
All right,
you guys are the best on the radio. You know.
Thank you for calling.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Okay, bye.
7:46 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, our Noodaloo 2 is coming up. For you in-ground pool owners, I'm telling you, this item is going to be life-changing. For those of you that don't have an in-ground pool, bear with me. We'll be right back.
I've been really trying.
The trimming of the wick and the paraffin thing is just getting me in the mood. Hold on, let's just nip one thing. What did we learn today, Keeney?
That I need to buy more expensive candles.
Right, and?
And trim my wick.
And trim your wick.
Let's get it on.
Oh, that's an oldie but a goodie. I did forget to tell her that you need to trim your wick, because if the wick is here I am with Veronica, who's the candle maker. She probably knows this better than anyone, right? But when the wick is too long, you make more smoke.
Yep,
and
you can really heat up your candle jar that way too, and to the bursting point
to crack it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, give us the recipe for making candles before we do our Noodaloo 2.
Wax.
Right. But where do you buy the wax?
Well, I buy it online. I buy soy wax. And, you know,
in a big chunk? Does it come like in a brick?
Nope, in a box, and it's in flakes. So you could just scoop it out.
Oh, in flakes.
And, you know, I've really cut the costs on how to do this. You know those big roaster pans? They cost like $30 at the store. You know, you could do a roast.
I mean, like you'd put a turkey in
or
something?
Yeah, a turkey. I use one of those. So that was $30 for my investment. This is going to sound crazy, but to make my individual candles, I use like Speedway cups. So like my son.
So do you go into a Speedway and then they say, are you a Speedway Rewards member? And you're like, no,
exactly.
But I'm just going to take 16 of these cups.
Exactly. Both of my sons are addicted to Dr. Pepper, and they will drink, you know, gallons of the stuff. And I make them save the cups, right, and I wash them. So that way, after I'm done, you know, making the candle in that one, I could toss it out. And at least it got used twice. And I don't have to buy all these, you know, plastic containers for melting the wax. Because you can't, like, make...
I love the whole reusing thing, right? Where you're taking something that would just end up in a landfill, mm-hmm, and you're using it one more time.
Same thing with plastic knives. You know, just the kind that come with a little, you know, you get a meal and you get a fork and a spoon and a knife and you don't ever need the knife. I save them and I stir it with that so that I can get rid of them later. So the cost has really been cut down. And the scent, you order the candle scent online... That lasts forever. You hardly need any scent when you're making it.
Is it like a little bottle of something like blueberry or whatever it is, and you put it in your flakes?
Yep. You melt it to a certain point. You know, you have to have a certain temperature. So I even have a little gauge that I, you know, check my wax. And then it's got to cool down just a little bit after you've heated it to melt it. Cool it down just a little bit. You put the appropriate amount of scent in there. And then you just let it cool down a little bit more, pour in the jars. Well, of course, you can wick the
Lindsay
jars.
Just said to me, there is a whole budding business here.
I know.
This is what we're going to do. Listen to me. You're going to make candles. Mm-hmm. And when we go do a remote, we're going to bring the candles and you're going to put them in cute little. All right. So when you put them in the Speedway cups.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is really funny to me. People are going, boy, that Veronica's really something. She can't give us the water temperature, but she knows how to make a candle.
I do. and I know how to save money doing it.
Okay, so now when you go with the Speedway cup and you make... Mm-hmm. Wait, the Speedway cup is giant,
it
right?
It is. So you can make about...
So how big is this candle? Like, do you sit on it when you're done?
Nope, it's 8-ounce jars. I buy 8-ounce jars. So then you can make about 3 out of one 44-ounce Speedway cup.
Oh, I see.
So, I don't make like giant amounts of candles at the same time. I might make like a couple of dozen at the same time. So then you
put it in a glass. Okay, wait. We gotta stop. I know we gotta do a noodle too, but now I'm intrigued. So you put this roasting pan. You put those flakes in there. You get it to a temperature. And now we have like a liquid wax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hot liquid wax.
Yep. You scoop it out into your Speedway cups.
So you scoop that into the Speedway cup, and then you put the wick in there.
No. You have candle jars that you have wicked. You have pre-wicked. So you put it in a Speedway cup so you can stir up the scent and the dye if you wanted a certain color. And then you let it cool down.
Oh, I see. So in other words, when you scoop it into the Speedway cup, like you can make one that's purple, and you scoop it into another one, and you can make one that's pink, and you can make one smell like lavender and one smell like blueberry.
The reason why I use Speedway cups.
Do they make a blueberry scent?
They do. Blueberry cobbler, blueberry pie, blueberry everything.
God. That sounds delicious.
Never wanted to eat a candle more in my life.
Right? Sam, are you right? Exactly.
Starving.
Blueberry cobbler? I want to just take a huge bite out of that.
They have every candle scent. They have new car scent. They have candle scent that smells like beer. They have dirt, fresh cut grass. They have every weird imaginable scent that you can ever come up with in your head.
So I'm just trying to imagine you in your kitchen doing this. Now, what music is playing during this whole time?
I have to admit, I like really loud, energetic music when I'm making my candles.
Right. So you got a little Guns N' Roses going in the background?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
I could just picture you pour some sugar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, we need Veronica. We're gonna build. Your name is perfect, right? Veronica's Candles.
You know what my sister did? She made some labels for me.
Okay.
Veronica Makes Sense. Because you could kind of play on that.
Oh, my God. Where's my horn? I'm in Davenport. I don't have my horn. Veronica Makes Sense.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because I don't do that very often, makes sense. but yeah,
gonna,
I found the cheap way to do this. And you
I
have to
it.
Use Speedway cups because they're sturdy enough. I've tried like McDonald's cups. They just melt like you wouldn't believe.
The Speedway people don't even know they're in this business.
I know.
The guy's going, I thought we were just a convenient store like Speedway. And now he's like, we can make candles with our cups.
And they just got so much free advertising.
I found the playlist that Veronica goes with.
Seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind.
Now you need Elvis Costello's Veronica.
Exactly, right. The rails have come completely up. Is it time for our Noodaloo 2 before we have to do news? Hello?
Hey, hi. What's that?
Hi. Is it time for our Noodaloo 2 before
we're laughing in here. Sure, we could do that, or we could do it after the news, whatever you want to do.
Why don't we do it after the news? Okay. Otherwise, we're going to be super behind. So for those of you that have an in-ground pool, you want to make sure that you listen right after the news. We'll do our Noodaloo 2.
My brother's going to kill us.
Relax. All right? My old man is a television repairman. Got the ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
This is the actual song that Veronica listens to when she's making candles. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I was earlier this week in central Pennsylvania. I landed in Pittsburgh and drove for 2 hours to go to central Pennsylvania, which was beautiful. But I just have to say, I got into behind the wheel of a smoking hot Chevy Cruze LTZ RS. Now, I am a large man, and the Cruze is a smaller car. It was so comfortable and so much fun to drive. Oh, my gosh. I'm just throwing that out there. If you're looking for a car, you got to check out that Chevy Cruze.
I'm going to ask you the next time I need help picking out a car.
You listen to me.
Oh, Veronica.
If I was not...
He is the one to go to.
I know nothing.
Oh.
I know
oh
nothing.
Oh, my gosh. My wife, God bless her, she's on a plane, so I can say all this now. If I was not Mr. Fix-It, I would be Mr. Car. And I would love to own a car dealership. Imagine all the cars I could. Look at how people trust me. If lose car, I have this whole concept for my car dealership, right? So, in other words, well, I love the Chevys. I think there's, you know, everybody's always worried about gas mileage. So my car dealership would be lose over 30 dealership.
So you'd only have cars that had over 30 miles per gallon?
Correct.
I like that.
Right? And so now everything you sell would be, oh yeah, you want, because that's the thing, right? And there's all these great looking cars. And so then you'd have this little mix and match, right? Just throwing that out there. I'm available to talk for investors.
She's I just saw that photo you sent me of what you're looking at or what the dealership that's across from your
across
hotel
the
right
street.
Now.
So I love Veronica. I love classic cars. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gotten out here to Davenport early because I did local television here in Davenport midday show to promote the appearance that I have today here in Davenport. So I love classic cars like Volo. You know, we talk about the Volo Auto Museum on the radio, and that's my pilgrimage. I go every year, and I'm on their website all the time looking at classic cars. And I knew that there were a couple classic car places in Davenport. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be here in the afternoon. I got to do a bunch of work, and maybe I'll take, you know, when I go to lunch or something, I'll find out where this place is. It's right across the street from my hotel.
Wow.
And they have a couple of a black 1968 Chevy Camaro, completely redone, and a white it's a white Pontiac convertible, like a 67 or something, all completely redone. How much?
A lot.
What do you think they are? How much? Take a guess. Take a guess.
40,000.
Oh, you're close. 60,000.
Mm.
I sent a picture to my wife, and she just said no.
I was going to say, you just sent me a text that said, she said no.
She said no. He said no. Oh, darn it. Okay, this Noodaloo 2 is an interesting one, but it's very specific. If you have an in-ground pool and you have one of those covers that you put over the in-ground pool in the wintertime, then this is right up your alley. Take a listen.
In a couple weeks, it'll be time to take those pool covers off, finally. And anyone who owns an in-ground pool knows how annoying it is to pick up the vinyl spring covers that have been dropping off in the yard and into the pool. Well, this weekend's New Tulu 2 is an aha moment with a super simple solution to a frustrating problem. Dean Morelli, who's been in the pool business for 27 years, has recently invented a product he calls Spring Shields. Spring Shields are protective covers for springs on in-ground swimming pools. To put it simply, there is a tube that typically covers the springs, which don't stay on well and fall off every time you put on or take off your pool cover. Well, Spring Shields is a patented product that quickly snaps on and stays on to eliminate this redundant process of picking up these tubes and then putting them back on. Simple, simple, but it works. Spring Shields started on a shoestring budget, but with a lot of drive, and he kept it American-made. Which, Lou, I know you love. 10 spring shields go for $78, including shipping. And then, of course, you can buy more as needed. You can find out more or see how it is these things work on springshields.com. As usual, I'll put all this information up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on WGNRadio.com, up on his Facebook page, and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
You know what I don't like about the iPad? I love the iPad, but you can't open multiple documents at once.
That's an interesting outro to that, New to Lou 2.
Well, but the point is, you just said to me, do you have that stuff I sent you? And the thing is, I've got the copy that I need to read. And, you know, if I was at a computer, I could go, oh, here it is. Click, 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 click.
I knew
need to fix
that
on the iPad.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the spring things, do they come with the springs or are they just the sleeves?
It's just the sleeves.
And how much is it?
Well, they are, I mean, I was kind of breaking it down. For 10 of them, it's $78, including shipping. So I think it's $68 without the shipping, or $65 without the shipping. So I broke that down. It's like $650 for one cover.
That's crazy. It's like a giant straw with a snap. Okay, so for people that don't know this, if you have an in-ground pool, you have this. A lot of people have these very expensive covers that go over the pool. And there are these little brass clips that go into the pool deck around there. And you stretch the cover across it, and there are these springs that latch onto these little brass clips that pop out of the pool deck. And these covers are so strong that literally you've seen ads where an elephant is standing on top of them. I don't know if that's true, but a person... could easily, you know, so you're covering the pool in the wintertime, you know, kids or a person could walk across this and not go anywhere. And those little clips that you have, because the canvas stretches, is a spring. And typically they have a little plastic sleeve over the top of it. And whenever you undo these sleeves break or they go flinging in the yard and you're constantly chasing after these things. So this guy, all he invented was that same sleeve, but with a snap to go around the spring so you don't lose it. Great idea. $68 for 10 of them?
Yes. But now I don't know I don't know anything about the in-ground pool business, but I do know that he started this company on his own, and I don't know how.
Everything's expensive.
It's American
Everything's
made.
Expensive when you have a pool. Right, a lot. But it's a straw with a, it's a heavy-duty straw with a snap. It's a big straw. It's like a Cuban cigar straw. Right?
Mm-hmm.
With a snap.
Mm-hmm.
Am I describing it correctly?
That's pretty good. I mean, it's thicker than a straw, but yes.
No, I understand. You know what it is? It's a heavy piece of tubing that we sell at the Ace. Cut down to fit onto that spring. I love it. It's just a little pricey.
It is a little pricey. But a great idea.
I'm not trying to be negative Nelly here, but I want to bring these ideas to you. Everything, you know, when it comes to pools, you know this, you've got a spa, and, you know, the chemicals and everything that go with it are expensive, and, you know, to maintain it, but boy, is it fun.
Is there a better character when Walter Matthau is Buttermaker and he cleans pools in Bad News Bears? You remember that movie?
I remember that movie. I don't remember that.
When he's they clean pools and he brings the team to clean the pools? You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the bag the whole time, so the team is like cleaning the pools.
Right, right. That's a lot like when Lindsay cleans her pool. She's drunk.
Like Walter Matthau.
She loves the day drink. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Anyway, that information is up on our website and up at the Facebook page. I think if you have an in-ground pool, you'll appreciate this this little thing. I know it's a targeted thing, but I do like featuring the whole American Made thing. And that's just a little pricey. They need to work on the pricing. I wish people would talk to me first. I wish people would talk to me first about this so that I could help them with the pricing, because then they'll sell more. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Carrie is hanging on the line in Sycamore. Hi, Carrie. You're on WGN.
Hey, good morning, Lou. I can't wait for Nick's Friday morning show, because that Trim Your Wick thing is going to be on Straight Out of Context, I'm sure. So it'll be fun. And now we're talking about it, so I guess it's Nick D. Spies, too. So it'll be fun.
Right, exactly.
So I got a question for you about my foundation. I've got a house built in 1896. We're getting a little bit of water in the basement. Really only rains a lot, like it has this week, from two corners of the house. Permaseal's been out. We're going to address it two ways. I'm going to adjust the gutters a little bit differently. I'm going to add a gutter and have them move things around. Not permaseal, but the gutter guys. And then permaseal is going to add a couple of bubbler pots on the two corners, and we'll just get the water away, and everything should be good. It's not that bad.
Okay.
The question is, there's a small entryway into the basement. There's a back door to the basement with about five steps go down, so the whole thing can't be more than 5x5 square. Okay. Then there's another door, so you never see it. But there are stairs, and you can see some material coming, some sandy material that clearly is coming from the foundation. And so the permaseal guy, and because of stairs and things, they're not going to do that. So what they suggested is you can see some cracks, and it's fieldstone too, by the way. So that's
right.
What I'm getting.
The whole foundation is fieldstone.
Whole foundation is fieldstone. Yep. So what they suggested for that back room that they're not going to do, just go in either myself or if I have somebody do it. Just pack all the cracks you can see with Portland cement. Now that's okay, because I just have to take out the stairs, and they're just wood stairs. It's no big deal. The question is, I've done this before, but with flat brick, which is easy, relatively easy to do, because you just take a drywall knife or something, you can really pack it in. But the field stones are so irregularly shaped. Right. Is there any better way to get that cement into the cracks evenly and make sure you get as much in as you can?
Okay, so a couple things. You're going to use mortar, not Portland cement. So you're going to use regular masonry mortar that has a sand mix, and you're going to mix it. You're going to mix it into, like a bucket or a wheelbarrow, whatever, depending on how much you're going to do that.
Sure.
And you're going to put this on what's called a mortar board. You know what a mortar board is?
No, I don't.
It's basic. It's basically a piece of wood that's probably 12 inches by 12 inches, and it has a little handle on the bottom. Imagine like something that a pizza is on top of, right? That's round, but this is square. And then in the center is like a shaft that you're going to hold. And you're going to throw that mortar on that mortar board. And you're going to hold that mortar board against the field stone. And you're going to take a tuck pointing tool. And you're going to, once that, all that's cleaned out, all the loose material, so you've exposed the gaps of the, between the field stone.
Yep.
You're going to carefully and gently take a little tuck pointing tool, which is a little metal kind of rounded piece of steel, and you're going to layer in the mortar, and you're going to pack it in over and over and over again. You know when you get a filling from the dentist, how he puts the filling in and he packs it, and then he puts a little more? You're doing the exact same thing. And it takes time, but that's what you're going to do to seal it up. And you'll be amazed at the results you get, but it just takes time.
So basically, is the board rigid or flexible?
No, it's rigid.
It's rigid. So you just basically pack.
All the mortar board is, it's a place for you to hold the mortar while you hold that against the wall, and then you gently scrape off of that. Okay. and you fill it in. You want to mix this a little bit at a time, because if you're not going to work that fast, and so you don't want what you mixed up to harden. But it just takes time, and you just got to kind of keep going back and forth, get it all in there, finish it off, pack it in, take a little, have a little brush with you too, so that you're scraping off the what's on the fieldstone, so it doesn't look like, you know, the house that Jack built. You want to still see that fieldstone, and then from there, it'll look real nice, and it'll hold together, and it should look fine. I appreciate the phone call. By the way, quick little, I don't know if I mentioned this, Lindsay, when I was at the Quinn's graduation a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know the graduation caps that the kids wear?
Mm-hmm.
You know what those are called?
Graduation gown caps? I don't know.
Nope. Mortar boards.
Really?
Mortar boards. Right. It is a homage to, you use that mortar board that I just talked about to build things.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Huh.
Look at the things you learn on this Mr. Fixit show.
I did not know that.
I know. 8:23 in the morning. Quick break. We'll be back right after these.
And now back to the Mr. Fixit show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:27 in the morning, the Mr. Fixit show. Thanks for joining us this morning. Coming up after the 8:30 news, we're going to be talking about cork flooring and why it's something you absolutely should be thinking about for your home. Right now on the phone is Sherry in Naperville. Hi, Sherry. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Terrific. How can I help you?
I have a question about siding windows. We're getting new siding on the house, and we have, like, I can hear my neighbors talking, and I don't know if it's coming from my windows, or could it be from not enough insulation on the siding?
You have a single family home?
Yes, it's a single family, two story.
And do you live, like, how close do you live next to your neighbors?
The house is probably about 20 feet apart.
Okay. You don't live next to George Costanza's parents, do you, from Seinfeld? Remember how they were always screaming?
No, and they're not screaming outside.
Okay. Tell me about your house. How old is the house?
It's 8 years old.
Okay. And why are you getting new siding on an 8-year-old house?
From the hail damage 2 years ago.
Okay, and windows too?
No, that's what I want to find out, if I need to replace the windows, the noise just be coming through the siding, maybe not enough insulation, and there's windows.
If you have an 8-year-old house, I assume then this is some kind of subdivision where they're all similar houses?
Yeah, there's semi-custom, they're all, you know.
Right. You have, if it's a frame house with conventional insulation on the house, and drywall on one side and sheeting on the other and siding on the other, I mean, yeah, there'll be some sound transference, you know, through a wall, but I find it interesting that you can hear your neighbors in your house from 20 feet away.
Yeah, they're outside, if they're outside talking and stuff.
Oh, well, if they're outside talking.
Well, yeah, they're not inside the house.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm trying to understand what you're asking, because you didn't mention that at first. So I just want to, But if I'm outside in a framed house and I'm standing there talking, certainly you're going to get some sound transference through there. I mean, if you're going to get new siding, if you do something that's a little more dense, something like a hardy plank or an LP smart side, this is definitely a more dense material than vinyl, and so there will be some sound attenuation with something like that. It costs more. So, I mean, depending on your, you know, the insurance claim, you may have to pay extra to do that.
Okay.
But the look is so much nicer, in my opinion, and that will help. And if the windows are caulked properly and everything's flashed properly, that's as good as you're going to get and be able to improve in a situation that you have right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You're talking about the concrete siding?
Well, the concrete siding is hardy board.
Right.
Then there's also a product called LP Smart Side, which is a composite material, which is also very good, and it's also very dense. And so, have you gotten estimates yet for all of this?
Yes. Well, yeah, for the siding, I've already got that done. I mean, I haven't got the siding done yet. I was waiting to find out if I needed to put windows on there to change out windows.
Well, I mean, is your insurance going to cover the windows?
No, I would have to buy those.
Yeah. I mean, if the windows are not damaged, then I don't know that you're going to improve the sound attenuation by replacing to a different type of window. So I don't know that I would invest in that at this point, because I just don't think you're not going to get from a sound attenuation issue, you're not going to get any benefit by spending a lot more money on windows. And I mean, even if you went with a middle of the road vinyl window, you're talking about spending, you know, $500 to $600 an opening. Then if you went to a composite or even a wood window, now we're spending $1,000, and I just don't think you're going to get the benefit. But a denser siding may help, but the emphasis is on the may. Appreciate the phone call. It's 8:32. Quick break, and then we'll get to news.
I've been to Georgia on a fast train, honey. I wouldn't bone no yesterday. Got a good Christian raising and a great education.
Oh, I get it. Welcome back to the Mr. Fix-It Show. 8:42 in the morning. Joining me on the phone lines right now is Deborah Harden, who is the CCO of U.S. Unique and Sustainable Floors. And she's down in Georgia, which is why we're playing that. Hi, Deborah.
How are you today?
I'm terrific. How are you? Deborah or Debbie or Deb?
Deb's fine.
All right. Nice. Deb, so I built a lot of houses in my day. And we've done a couple of cork floors, just a couple. And the two times that I ever did it, I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And then about 10 years ago, there was a restaurant in Chicago, and I cannot remember the name of it, but this is what I do. I look around, and I'm looking at stuff, and I'm sitting at this table with my wife. I think we had a couple friends with us. And I'm looking down at the floor, and I'm going, this is one of the most beautiful floors I've ever seen. And at this point, the owner came by because the restaurant was new. And I said, what kind of floor is this? He goes, it's cork. It's awesome. Why aren't more people installing cork floors?
Well, that's a good question. I think one of the reasons is they simply don't know it's a flooring option.
And it's been a flooring option forever.
It's been a flooring option forever. It's probably one of the first, you know, floors that was installed in a sand and finish way other than wood flooring. And what we have found recently is because a lot of, you know, old homes, old businesses are going through all this refurbishing. People are taking up layers and layers of floors that have been put down. And sometimes underneath at the very bottom, they're finding cork floors. And they sand and refinish them, and they're just as beautiful as they were the day they were put down.
All right. Now, I'm going to stop you for a second. First of all, tell me a little bit about your company and what it is you all do.
Our company, U.S. Floors, we are a wholesaler of flooring, and we distribute flooring to retailers nationwide. And as I was telling Lindsay earlier, the U.S. and U.S. Floors doesn't stand for United States. It stands for unique and sustainable. So the flooring that we sell is always unique, always sustainable, and sometimes both.
Right. Now, give us a little history lesson, or not a history lesson, but cork flooring is kind of unique as to how it is you harvest it. I mean, first of all, cork is not grown. It's really kind of a specific part of the world where it comes from, and it's one of these truly hand-made products because the harvesting is all done by hand.
That's true. Cork flooring, or cork in general, most of it comes out of Portugal, that area of the world, and cork is actually the bark from a cork oak tree. And artisans who have been doing this for generations actually hand, like you said, they hand harvest the cork from the tree. It doesn't damage the tree. As a matter of fact, it's good for the tree for the bark to be harvested because it gets real thick, and if you don't harvest it, it will eventually choke the tree out. So they do this. They harvest the bark from the trees once every 9 years and wow. use it for a lot of different products, including flooring.
Right. Now, I was reading, you had sent some data, which I found intriguing, was that, first of all, cork trees can live a really long time, right?
Very long. I mean, they have cork trees that they've got recorded over 200 years old.
Wow. And I was reading that the first time you harvest the bark, like the very first time on a tree, it's actually not the best cork. It gets better every time you harvest it. So, and they're very careful where they're literally hand carving the bark off of this and making sure that the tree is perfectly clean. It's all, it almost looks like a naked cat when it's done, but then it, when the cork comes back, it's even a better quality. Isn't that true?
That's right. I mean, the first harvest they do on a tree is, the tree is 25 years old, so it's not something you just decide to get into tomorrow and the next year you're going to start having cork. You know, the first harvest is 25 years old, and then that is not very good. It's the, you know, the first time they take the bark off the tree, they use it to, they grind it up and use it for underlayment and things like that that don't require the best quality of the cork.
Right.
And then they wait another 9 years and harvest that time. And every time they harvest, the bark gets a little thicker. It's kind of like, you know, if you cut a piece of wood in half and you see the growth rings.
Sure.
That's the way the cork is. The older the tree is, the larger the cork growth rings are, and they get better and better as they age.
So tell me about some of the options, Deb, that cork flooring offers. In other words, I think that most people will think, oh, cork, it sounds, you know, it sounds warm. It sounds like it's something that would be quiet. What about the durability? I think most people think that, oh, it would snag. And how is that going to be a durable product for my floor?
Well, it's very durable, and we make it even more durable than it is in nature by putting finishes on it, you know, just like you would any other kind of wood. And the finishes uh-huh. make it very durable, but in and of itself, it's durable too.
And what kind of options exist in the flooring? Is it come in a roll? Does it come in snap together like a floating floor? Are there tiles available?
All of the above. I mean, it does come in roll form for underlayment. A lot of cork underlayment is used under other flooring. There are glue-down tiles that are used more in a commercial setting. What you saw in the restaurant may have been a glue-down tile. And then also there
right.
are floating floors that are great, you know, for any kind of installation, especially if somebody's wanting to do it themselves or, you know, professionally installed, either way. So there are lots of
right.
options for cork flooring.
And talk to me about affordability. I mean, is it on par with what a real wood floor would be as far as the materials cost-wise? And also, what about application? Are there any limitations as to where you can put it?
It is very much on par with other wood flooring from a cost standpoint. And from an application standpoint, the most installed place that we find cork floors residentially are in the kitchen and in the bedrooms. It's a great bedroom flooring because it's, like you said, it's warm. It's warm to the touch. It's comfortable underfoot, and it has great aesthetic value. I mean, there are many, many decors and colors with cork flooring, and it makes a great floor in the bedroom.
Do you find that when people install a cork floor, they tend to drink more wine because they're so much closer to the cork?
You're definitely more in tune with the cork that comes out of the wine.
You're like, wow, look at this cork. It's just like my floor. Well,
exactly.
I think it's terrific.
And to see if it is a real cork,
cork line stops.
Right.
At the top.
Well, right, right. And there's a whole and let me ask you this too. From a this is a, obviously a sustainable product, meaning that you know it. You're harvesting it, and I'm sure that the people that are doing this, just like the lumber industry, are planting more trees because they want to sustain themselves. Is it a product that is abundant for the purpose that you guys are using it? In other words, these are managed forests that you know people can with confidence say, "Hey, I'm going to do this." It's like corn or wheat.
It's absolutely managed in Portugal. I mean, every tree is protected. They know where every tree is and what age it is and everything. And, yes, they are planting more, but when you go to – if you ever get the opportunity to go to Portugal, to the cork montados, it is unbelievable how much cork is there. You know, you would think that it would run out, but you go there and you see the montados where all the cork oaks are. And then you see the stacks and stacks of pork that they've already harvested and they're using. I mean, it's almost like there's an unlimited supply because it is regenerating every year.
Wow. All right. Now, you guys are a wholesaler, so you sell obviously through retailers. But if people wanted more information about cork flooring and things that that you guys carry, is there a website they can go and look at?
Absolutely. www.usfloorsllc.com.
Deborah Harden is the CCO of U.S. Floors, which stands for Unique and Sustainable Floors. Thank you so much for talking with us today about the benefits of cork flooring. And we just got to tell more people about it because I think it's just an awesome choice. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Take care. It's 8:52 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these. All right, it's 8:56 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Shirley in Lake Mills has been hanging on a long time. Hey, Shirley, when we're done talking, can you hang on so I can send you out a gift certificate to Lou Malnati's Pizza with their 40-plus Chicagoland locations? And if you want to order them, you can go to lou2go.com, and I love Lou Malnati's Pizza.
So do I. Thank you so much.
All right. How can I help you?
I have three wonderful grandchildren, and they were painting one day, and they sort of ran around into the living room and painted a little bit on a leather couch. And I've been trying to find out what I can do to remove this paint. It's not dry, and I went to Google, and I tried soap and water. I tried leather conditioner. I tried hairspray. I tried rubbing alcohol. I tried Vaseline. I tried nail polish, and nothing seems to work. So you are my expert. How can I remove this paint?
What do you mean it's not dry?
It is dry. I'm sorry. The paint is dry.
Oh, it is dry.
Yeah.
Oh, it is dry. So do you know, was it a latex paint?
No, they were just using tempera paint.
So it's a water-based paint is my point.
It's a water-based paint, yeah.
Okay. And is it all over the leather couch? Is it on pillows that you can remove?
It's on the seat, basically, the seating of the leather couch. And it's a pretty big spot.
Okay. All right. Here's what I want you to do. This is not easy. And the leather of this couch is in good shape, right?
It's in beautiful shape, yes.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a hairdryer, and
okay.
I want you to gently warm the leather up, okay? I don't want you to get really, but I want you to warm it up.
Okay.
And then when it's warm, it should help to open up the pores of the leather a little bit. And then is there like a layer of paint? Like if you could scrape it off with your nail, could you? Is there that much or is it embedded in the leather?
I think I could try and scrape it off.
Okay. So then I really want you to just use like your nail, okay, on your hands. I don't want you to use anything more. And with it warm, I want you to once it's nice and warm, I want you to start to pick it away a little bit. Pick it away a little bit. And there is a product called Leather CPR, which is hard to find, but a hardware store may have it. It comes in a pink squeeze bottle that once you scrape away most of that, it could help to get the rest of this off, and you're going to condition it and get it off. And when those grandkids come back over, give them a big hug and tell them how much you love them.
Oh, I do. I do. I do love them very much.
Those little stinkers.
Yes, yes. But they were being very creative and somehow got away from mom's eyes.
I know. All right. Well, good luck. Hang on a second. Hang on a second so we can get you that certificate for the Lou Malnati's Pizza. 9 o'clock in the morning, quick break, and then to news.
So I shouldn't worry then about the screen because I can raise it up high.
It's Saturday morning.
I'm still thinking I can collect debris on the bottom part of the sill.
And you're listening to Lou.
Kathy, yes. Are you a lady that looks for things to worry about?
And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I do.
You are, yeah.
Now back to the man himself.
Kathy, look for something else to worry about.
Lou Manfredini.
There's got to be something else that you can worry about. This is not anything you need to worry about.
On Chicago's very own.
Love you, Kathy.
Love you, Lou.
720 WGN.
That is funny. It's 9:11 in the morning. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and by Ace Hardware. Hey, join the girlfriends. They're back on the road for the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. Join the live broadcast of the Kathy and Judy Show at Garfield Park Conservatory next Saturday, May 21st, from 10 until noon. They're going to share some laughs together among the flowers and plants at the conservatory. Garfield Park Conservatory is located at 300 North Central Park Avenue in Chicago and has free admission and parking. Get more information at WGNRadio.com/events. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. Have any of you been to the Garfield Park Conservatory ever before? Anyone?
Not
Bueller?
Me. Nope.
Anyone?
Not me.
No?
I've
no?
heard they have
Sam?
A great kids area, though. Whoops.
I don't remember that.
My friend told me they do.
Can I tell you something? Years ago, I went for the very first time with my wife. It is one of the coolest places you've ever seen. And they have these, you walk through there, and they have these beautiful plants. I mean, it's just, and it smells really good. And they have this water, I don't know if you would call it a, I guess it's like a little pond. And they have giant koi, okay? And then they have these little benches throughout there. Okay, right, right. So I thought, this is the place. I don't know if Sam stepped away or not. But if you were ever going to take a girl on a date, okay, like a lunch date, you'd say, hey, Veronica, would you like to have lunch with me? Sure. And then you meet me at the Garfield Park Conservatory at noon. And you bring a little bag lunch. And
maybe
then you go in and you sit on this bench. I'm telling you. Hook, line, and sinker.
The
really?
Ladies would
all
be
yours.
Impressed. Yes, the ladies would be very impressed.
Sam, do you have a lady in your life or a significant other in your life?
I am free as a bird.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm telling you what. Write this one down. If there's ever a lady that you're kind of interested in or, you mm-hmm. know, someone like, hey, you know, I kind of like this Susie or Jenny, whatever her name
get
is.
Get out of
right?
my head. Stop doing
this
that.
Is what you're...
I hate when you do that, when you get their names right.
Right? This is what... This is what you're going to do.
Okay.
You're going to say, meet me at noon on a Tuesday at the Garfield Park Conservatory. Free admission, free parking. And then you're going to go in there with a little bag lunch. You're going to come in and you're going to sit on the bench and you're going to talk. I'm telling you, she's going to fall madly in love with you.
And if it's a homemade,
your parents will
if it's
thank
a homemade
me.
Lunch, oh, yeah, she's going to be really impressed.
Oh, even better. I made, right, if you could figure out what she likes to eat. Oh, I made you a little, I know you love, you know, a little grilled portobello sandwich, whatever it is, right?
Yes, sure. Susie. That's Susie's favorite, actually.
Susie's favorite. Whatever she loves. You're going to make it.
Is that
with
on
some
Central
low-fat
Park?
Chips or something like that.
That's on Central Park, right?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
It is. It's really. I. You know what? You got to go and go see the ladies. You'll know what I'm talking about. Bring a box lunch. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. Let's talk to Sue, who's in St. Charles. Hi, Sue. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I have
sure.
a few questions about putting a new roof on. I've been told I need one. I'm going to get a couple estimates. My question is, where do I go for a list of reputable roofers? What kind of warranty should I be asking about, and what type of asphalt, what do I look for in choosing an asphalt shingle?
Okay. So a couple things. The mm-hmm. as far as the warranty goes, roofing, mm-hmm. you know, roofing shingles nowadays, they start with like a 25-year warranty. And everybody mm-hmm. hears that and they're like, oh, my God, that's awesome. I'm going to get a roof and I'm not going to have to do anything for 25 years. But the mm-hmm. average life of an asphalt shingle roof in the United States mm-hmm. is 13 years.
Okay.
So don't let the 25-year warranty get you going, because what happens is that 13 years down the road, when maybe there's some damage or whatever that's not normal wear and tear, because mm-hmm. there's all these, you know, exclusions from the warranty. If there was a problem, the roofing company would come in to say, okay, Sue, really sorry about this. We're going to prorate the material cost, which, you know, let's just say the material cost of your roof was $5,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're going to divide that by 13 years. You do the math. They're going to hand you a check yeah. for $500.
Yeah.
Okay. So mm-hmm. not that it's not $500.
Yeah.
But,
right.
you know, but still, I don't want you to go into that thinking that, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have to do this again. Now,
yeah.
that being said, you only do a tear off. You do not do a re-roof, if you're asking my opinion, because it's not worth it to just go over and hide problems that you are covering up because you're not going
right.
to take a look at it. Mm. And then you're going to make sure that you get contractors that have tons of experience. Now, there is mm-hmm. a organization that is in the Chicagoland area called the National Roofing Contractors Association.
Okay.
NRCA.net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
There's a fine list of contractors you can find there mm-hmm. to work in your area. We have a couple sponsors that have been part of this show for a long time. One is new to WGN but has been around a very long time, called Rogers Roofing.
Okay.
And they've got a terrific reputation. I would definitely call them.
Okay.
And also go to that NRCA.net website to get a few other ones. And right. then as far as the makers of the roof, there's a lot of different makers. And mm-hmm. Companies like GAF, CertainTeed, mm-hmm. Elk, they're all very good. And, you know, Tamco is another one it's a very good one. And, you know, when you're getting estimates, they're going to say, oh, this is the best. As long as these shingles are from reputable companies like that, I have no mm-hmm. problem with any of those. And I think you'll be happy with the work. But it's all about of the contractors you choose, the references that they provide, and in particular, the references that they provide of roofs that they did 5 years ago. And then you take time to go look at that to make sure that you're happy with their work. Good luck with that. I appreciate you calling this morning. 9:18 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Hi, I'm Norm Abram, host of the New Yankee Workshop. You know, when I'm looking for some tips for my do-it-yourself projects or home renovation projects, I listen to Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It, on Saturday. Don't miss it.
I'm using a hammer and some nails. Thank you, Norm. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini coming to you live from the Quad Cities, overlooking the Mississippi River here in Davenport. Jim is in Antioch. Jim, you are on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you today?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
How can I help you, sir?
Well, we got a problem, and we've got an all-brick home, and we had mice in our attic, and we've got weep holes at the bottom line of the bricks. And we were told that the mice could be entering through there, so it was suggested that we plug the weep holes with copper mesh, and we had that done. Unfortunately, there was broken mortar in many or most of those weep holes, and I found out after the fact that what they did was they plugged those with great stuff. Now I'm concerned about...
Oh, no.
Yeah, so...
Who's they?
Is that a serious
issue? They? Because I want you to get them, and I want you to slap them.
Good, that's a great idea. Will you hold them for me?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll slap them for you. Come on,
okay,
people.
Great.
Okay, let's think about this. All right, do we still have the mice?
No, the mice appear to be taken care of.
Gone. All right. We need to open up those weep holes. We cannot. That is going to be a moisture issue, and this is for anybody with a brick home. You know, the whole idea is that brick will absorb moisture, and there's moisture that gets trapped in between the walls, and we need that water to be able to come out of there. Typically, the weep holes are either a hole or there's a piece of rope that's in there.
Yeah, they didn't use rope.
Okay, so here's what. How handy of a fella are you, Jim?
Well, now I've got a family that's very handy. I just watch.
You're very handy
people in the family, though.
There you go. And you're very good at delegating and making sure that everybody has a snack.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So that great stuff needs to come out. And it may entail actually having whomever the handy person is in your home drilling out the great stuff using a drill, probably with a masonry bit. So the hole might actually get a little bigger. Then what I want you to do is have them get some cotton rope, okay, like a little spool of rope that is the size or a little bit bigger than the hole that they drilled out. And then gently with like a little awl or something like that, you're going to get that rope in there. You're going to stick it in as far as it can go and just leave a little bit hanging out of that hole, like a half an inch. The idea is that if any moisture wicks down there, the cotton rope will absorb it, and then it'll get pulled out, and the moisture will come out. That rope, now the risk is that a mouse could chew at that. Mm-hmm. One of the tricks is, with the rope in there, fit in properly, take a little clear silicone, and over the top of the rope, just the top, caulk the rope to the brick, not the bottom. I don't want you to seal it. I just want you to hold it so it's a little more difficult if a mouse wants to come and pull on it, and yank it out and then go in there. A mouse can go in a hole the size of a dime.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that that's sealed up. And then the other thing you can do, too, is do you have any animals?
No, we do not.
Okay. So, you can leave a little bait outside or a couple traps if you're worried about them coming back, but occasionally doing something like that will be helpful. But if you do this, we absolutely have to open up those holes, mm-hmm. or you're going to have an issue with moisture trapped in between the walls.
One of the things that was told to us, though, is that if you use anything to try and get, puncture into that great stuff, it's possible that you could hit the plastic. I don't know, is there some sort of a plastic sheathing behind the brick? And if you puncture that, that moisture could get into the basement. I don't know if I'm saying that exactly right.
Are these the same people that we're going to slap that put the great stuff in the holes?
No, that was just a friend who was just giving me his thoughts.
He's right about that. But the thing is that with whomever these handy people are, you just want to go. You're going to only drill in. That great stuff didn't go in that far. So he or she is going to drill in like a half of an inch, and then take a little awl and pick it away. And then you'll be able to pull out the rest of it and put the rope in. So you do that, and I think if you're careful, you'll be perfectly fine. Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. 9:28 in the morning. We'll be right back.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
9:37 in the morning. Time now for our Just Text Me segment. That's where you text us up at 312-981-7200. By the way, Lindsay, before you do the Just Text Me,
mm-hmm.
We are, WGN is loud and clear out here in the Quad Cities.
Good.
I was driving out here, and even last night I was listening. So for those of you that live in the Quad Cities, if you're in the area, after the show this morning, I'm going to be making an appearance at Seifert Lumber Company as part of their QC Home Expo. We're going to meet visitors. I'm going to be giving why investing in your home is a good idea, a couple presentations. And you can register at the event and win a free deck contest. And it's all happening at the Lumberyard today. It's from 10 until 3 today. There's free food and all kinds of stuff. So if you're in the Quad Cities and you want to come out and say hello, I'll be there. Seifert Lumber Company is at 4112 West Kimberly Road in Davenport, Iowa. So
very nice.
See some WGN listeners out there. Yeah.
That's a great presentation that you do.
Yeah. Well, because you helped put it all together. And it's all brought to you by my friends at Marvin Windows and Doors, who Seifert is a big dealer for Marvin. And they were kind enough to ask me to come out here, and I'm happy to do it.
Very nice.
What's going on in the text lines?
Oh, we've got a lot going on. One, the biggest thing actually is your we're getting a lot of texts about, like, thanks for the earworm, Lou. That Libby's jingle is now stuck in my head.
When it says Libby's, Libby's, Libby's on the label, 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 nothing's better, better, better on your table, 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 because we think you'll agree it's hard to find a canned vegetable that's younger, tender, rounder, sweeter. Redder, moister, brighter, crisper.
On the Libby's label is a note that says, right, we challenge you to find a better
candidate. Are you too young to remember
I've
that?
I've never heard this, but it's going to be stuck in my head now anyway. I don't even know what it is.
Just the first part. Just the first part that everybody remembers. See, now I had the words wrong because I thought it was when it says Libby's, Libby's on the label, label, you will like it, like it, like it.
On the table,
on your table, table, table. Table. Yeah.
What is it? I don't even know what Libby's. What is Libby's?
They didn't say like it. It's like they said something else.
Libby's is canned vegetables.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. It was just. Do they still make Libby's vegetables?
I do believe they do.
See, Veronica and I wouldn't know because we grow our own vegetables. Veronica makes her own candles. Listens to Guns N' Roses while she's making candles.
I was going
to
say, people might make fun of me, but if apocalypse happens and there are just a few of us left, who will they be coming to for the canned foods?
Oh, my gosh. The world has just ended. Where do we go? Everybody, quick, to Veronica's house. She has candles.
And green beans. And asparagus.
She has more asparagus than anyone knows what to do with.
And crushed up Cheez-Its.
Right. How? Wait. This is reporting from news now. How did these people survive? Well, we lived on a diet of asparagus and Cheez-Its, and we ate them by the light of the candle, smelling like blueberry cobbler.
Haven't perfected a way to still play the Guns N' Roses after the apocalypse happens.
Right. But... Well, I'll work on that. Don't worry. Right after I put the probe in the lake so we know what the water temperature is. All right. What's going on?
Okay. 630. Lou, I have a Kohler white bathroom sink that has a 5-inch scratch inside the bowl. It's not real deep, more of a surface depth, but is there a solution to fix it?
Okay. Well, it might not be actually a scratch. It could be a little etching from some kind of metal that went in there. So what I would try first is a white Scotch-Brite pad and a little Barkeeper's Friend cleanser to see if you can clean it away. The key is the white Scotch-Brite pad. A little paste, go gently with a little power in your, a little force on your hands, but don't bear down on it, and see if you can literally scrub it away. If it's a scratch that's not so deep, you're better off just leaving it, because if you try and patch it with a little touch-up paint, that'll look worse than the scratch.
Yeah. Okay, 847, Lou, we have a drain pipe in the basement under the kitchen sink and the dishwasher. The leak that leaks whenever the dishwasher runs. It appears to be leaking from the joints near the basement ceiling. It's a 60-year-old home and actually creates a stream of water from the pipe to the floor drain, about 6 feet.
Oh, wow. Wow.
What do we do?
Okay. Well, if these are the connections of the pipes, did they say how old the house is?
60 years.
No. Okay, so it's probably galvanized piping. If it's galvanized piping, chances are those joints are just shot, and so you need a plumber to come out and redo that section. What I will tell you is when you have a home with old galvanized drain pipes, once you start loosening up a couple of connections, it can end up to be more sections and more sections. And so it might be the kind of thing that you talk to a plumber about redoing the whole run all the way to the wherever the stack is, because I wouldn't just if all of a sudden you're replacing half of that run going to the drain, I'd just do the whole thing because they're there anyway, and it'll cost a little bit more, but it's a better use of your money.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. 920 up in
you
the...
love being a homeowner.
I do. It's so fun and expensive. Mm-hmm. 920 up in, I think that's Green Bay. Lou, we are looking at using vinyl planking in an upcoming bathroom remodel. What is your opinion on this type of flooring?
Vinyl, like a vinyl floor? Mm-hmm. Hey, if you were listening today, put a cork floor in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if you're
bathroom.
Talking about a... Oh, yeah. Cork. It's cork.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can use vinyl planking if you're talking... You know, the thing is, with a lot of... of laminate floors that and or vinyl, you just have to make sure that it is rated for wet applications. Some of those floors will specifically say you cannot use in bathrooms. And remember, you're coming out of the bathtub or out of the shower, and you're going to be dripping water. Even if there's a pad, you will drip water outside of the pad. And if it starts to work its way underneath that floor and it's not rated for that application, then you're going to cause problems. But I got to tell you, just based on our conversation today, cork floor, go for it.
Way to go. Lastly, 312, what can I put on the outside of the house to prevent mice from getting in?
Cat.
Meow.
Well, so this is the thing. You know, the whole idea with the keeping the mice out of the house is to try and get, don't give them any access into it, and don't provide any safe havens for them, meaning that if you keep things stacked up against the house, like wood for the fireplace outside or wood for the fireplace inside, that's a place where they can hang out and figure out a way to get in. Or if you have a shed or a storage container, move it away from the house so that it's not something they can hide behind. And then you need to inspect and make sure that you look around the foundation and right where the house meets the ground to ensure that there aren't any cracks or holes. Like I mentioned to the earlier caller, they can go through a hole the size of a dime, and you want to seal that up. If you're concerned with it, you can also do some baiting on a regular basis on the outside with little bait stations for mice and rats. And I know when I say this, people get upset, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, you're killing these rodents and they serve a purpose. I get that, but they carry disease. And people with asthma and allergies, the dander is a huge problem, and they can create a huge mess. And I guarantee you there will always be plenty of mice and rats. Mm-hmm. So keeping them out of your house is a good thing to do, in my opinion.
Me
so,
too.
Yeah, right, exactly. Anything else?
No, that's all for Just Text Me this morning.
All right, great. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Daniela on the line. Danielle in Lombard, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Lou?
Good. Is it Danielle or Daniela?
Danielle.
Danielle, how are things going today?
Pretty good. Cold and cloudy, but not so bad.
What's on your schedule today for Saturday?
I have a hair appointment, so that's always a good thing.
Really? What are we going to do? Same thing? Anything different? Doing a color? Cut and color?
Highlights.
All right. Very nice. Good luck with that.
Thank you. So we have a house in Lombard. We have two bathrooms. One in the basement. It's a full bath. And there's a second on the main floor. And when we take showers at the same time in those bathrooms, we always run out of hot water. So now we're looking at getting a tankless hot water heater.
Okay.
And we're just looking for some recommendations about what you think would be the best to do.
All right, two bathrooms. How big is the water heater? Did you just tell me that or no?
It's a 50-gallon.
50-gallon, and there's just not enough juice in there.
Yeah, one of us runs out of hot water and not a happy day.
Would that be you?
Maybe.
You don't want, okay. All right. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. All right. I'm a big fan of the on-demand water heaters, and the technology has changed tremendously, meaning that even just 5 years ago, I would have given you a brand name of different ones and told you that, well, you know, you got to increase the size of the gas line and this and that to make it all work the right way. But now that the technology has gotten so much better, that's not the case anymore. Write this manufacturer down. Navion. Okay. Navion. Navion. It's a Korean company. All of this technology in on-demand water heaters comes from Asia. So they make a terrific unit. It's distributed through a company called Metropolitan, but you'll get it at plumbing supply houses. The trick is you got to find a plumber that believes in it to install it. And they're coming around finally. If you've listened to me with any regularity, you know that I've been beating this drum forever, and they're now getting it. Excuse me, it's Navien, not A-N.
Okay.
And this is a terrific unit, and they come in different sizes. The website is us.navien.com if you want to look there. And I think you can find dealers and suppliers in the area. And you're in Lombard. I think there's a Ferguson Supply that's nearby that probably carries it. But you're going to need to buy this through a plumber.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what, there's a bit of a learning curve in all this, okay? Meaning that it does take a little longer for the water to get to you when you first turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
But there are recirculating pumps that can be installed in all this. And this is where I think it's important to talk to the plumber that they put some sort of recirculating system in where when you're at your vanity, you know, and you want to wash your face at night, you're not waiting forever to get the hot water.
Right. You don't have to let the water run for a minute.
Correct. It's more than a minute. But once you get used to this thing, you love it. Because right now, it's off because no one's in the shower. And then when it's on, you or whomever can take a shower for 5 days and never run out of water. So I think it's definitely worth it, and it'll be great. Hang on a second. You were hanging on for such a long time. How about we send you out a Mr. Fix-It Lou's Crew t-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip, created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. 9:50 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Happy trails.
I was about to start singing it.
Until
9:54 in the morning, time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Kathy is in Sharon, Wisconsin. Kathy, where is Sharon, Wisconsin?
It's just over the state line.
Really?
I actually live on the state line, so if I walk across the street, I'm in Illinois.
Really?
It's west of Lake Geneva.
Oh, just west of Lake Geneva. Okay. Well, do me a favor. Since you're our last caller, I'm going to send you out an Espoma prize pack containing the most effective natural and organic products for your garden. Find Espoma products at local flower and garden retailers and participating Ace Hardware stores. How can I help you?
Well, I have a 25-year-old kitchen, and I'm going to redo everything but the cupboards. And I'm getting a quartz countertop. But my floor, I'm having a dilemma with the floor. So I have built-ins, and I have linoleum now because that's what I did 25 years ago. And
Were you living there 25 years ago?
So then
that was probably then you did do linoleum.
Yes, I did linoleum. So I really wanted to do hardwood, but I dog sit for a lot of people, and I have a dog, and I'm wondering about the traffic when they whip through my kitchen when they're wrestling and stuff. Maybe I didn't want to. And then I thought about tile. But if I have to take out my bottom cupboards if I put in hardwood or tile. And I'm wondering if I should do that or not do that.
Okay. Couple things. There's nothing wrong with hardwood floors in a kitchen. I think it's one of the most resilient floors ever. In a perfect world, the floor would go wall to wall, but it's not the end of the world if you cut it and put it in front of that. Are you planning to stay in this house for a long time?
Yeah, probably forever.
Okay. Forever's a long time.
Yeah.
But you could definitely do that, and you could cut it in front of the cabinets. It will raise you'll be a little taller when you're at the cabinet, so you won't have a 36-inch high counter anymore because the floor will come up a little bit.
But I won't be able to pull out the refrigerator or the dishwasher or the stove if I do that.
Well, no, the refrigerator, because it sits on the floor, that'll go into that little area. Where's the refrigerator now?
It's in a little area.
Right, but does it slide into in between some cupboards?
Yes.
Okay, well then the refrigerator will come out, and when they cut the fridge around there, they'll put the floor into that little cubby where the fridge goes in and slide it back in, as long as there's enough clearance if there's a cabinet above.
There's not enough clearance.
Okay. So then how about this?
Okay.
Do we have money to replace the cabinets?
It's not necessary. I really like my cabinets, and they're very nice oak. Nice cabinet, so I didn't want to do that.
All right, but we're going to take the countertops out.
I'm getting new countertops. Yes.
Right. So let's do this. Let's if you want hardwood and you're worried about that kind of stuff, then take the cupboards out, put the floor in, put the cabinets back.
Okay.
Not the end of the world. A little bit more money, but not the end of the world. But you could also do a laminate floor if you wanted. I mean, you wouldn't have to do that. But hardwood floor, if you go wall to wall and you do this the right way, you will be so much happier long term. And the nice thing about it, if you're going to stay there forever, as you mentioned, and forever is a long time.
It's a long time.
I only pray that you'll be there forever. You'll be able to refinish those. You'll be able to refinish those floors in 5 or 6 years, and it's not going to be a problem with the dogs. So it's going to be fine. I have two dogs now. I can't believe I just said that out loud. We have two dogs, and our floors still look good, and you'll do just fine. Hang on a second so we can get you that information. It's 9:58. Quick break, and then we'll talk to the ladies. These ladies love the old commercial when it says Libby's, Libby's, Libby's on the label, label, label.
No, we don't. Veronica on that
okay.
one.
Never mind.
I have a question for you about the guy with the Flagstone Foundation.
The River Rock.
They put the mortar in there, you know, use the tool. Yeah. Why don't they have something like a frosting bag for mortar?
They do.
For something like
they
that.
They do.
Well, why wouldn't
they
that
do.
Work?
Okay. Well, it's a little more complicated in the fact that you have to mix the mortar to almost a perfect consistency every time. And it's the kind of thing that you need an extra pair of hands.
Okay.
And you got to work really quickly because really when you use the mortar, when you use the mortar board and the tool, it goes pretty quickly. What happens is you mess around with it initially as you're trying to get in there, but then you kind of get the hang of it and it works out pretty well.
It goes faster. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, River Rock, you know, those old, foundations like that, it's just like a sieve for water.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
There's nothing you're going to do to stop the water.
And, right. Exactly.
Right. And okay. beautiful. But that's what they had back then.
Okay.
So.
Yeah,
good idea, but not working.
I understand the conversation.
Okay.
Be
I'll give Judy a little background.
Yeah. Why don't you keep her focused on the whole goose idea, and then we'll
yes,
be
yes, being attacked by a goose
and
coming
getting
up.
Getting slapped in the face or slapping somebody in the face.
Oh, wow.
Ouch.
Okay. Okay. Many important right. topics on the Kathy and Judy show.
Have a great
nice
show,
ride
ladies.
Back on I-80.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.